Hi, welcome to the show. My voice is terrible because everything's on fire around me. Naz is also experiencing a shit show. It's not a literal fire, but it's a metaphorical fire in England. Yeah,
I don't know. We're having an election, but who knows? By the time this goes out on Monday, everything may change. So yeah,
same here. I think there's a vote today on the impeachment. Whatever.
Oh yeah. So who knows? We're recording this on Friday. Maybe by Monday, everything will have changed, and this entire tape will be irrelevant because Dan had a chat with Liz Plank, and you guys talked about women who support Trump, white women who support Trump. I think it's white women.
But well, that was said in the show that it was white women's fault. And, you know, I listen as the token man on this show. I try really hard not to blame everything on white women, but so, y'all really screwed up this time.
This is the Gentle. I'm Naz.
I'm Dan. We're very glad you're here. You want to do a little housekeeping?
Yeah, let's do some super quick housekeeping. Write to us, thegentle@gmail.com. We really want to hear all of your thoughts about everything.
All of them about everything.
Well, actually, no. I feel like now.
No,
people...
yeah, you said it. and now we're getting now it. I want to know what you think about your grandma. Send us your shopping list.
About Trump. Given this episode's about Trump, don't send thoughts about Brexit because I want to avoid thinking about
Brexit. Tell us what you think about Trump. I saw a MAGA at the Burbank airport on Wednesday and I was shocked.
Maybe it was an out-of-towner who was escaping to Apocalypse Land.
I was hoping it was a Halloween costume.
Oh, maybe it was. Do you think it was?
No, it wasn't. His face was... stupid. he had a stupid
what?
Person face.
Dude, okay. also, share this show. So share it with three people. Leave us reviews as well on wherever you listen. I also want to give a quick shout out. I want to give a quick shout out to the Grace Digital Founders Campus app, which is a wicked app that is being made, and it's tools for female founders. So if you're a woman and you want to start a company, you should totally support this app. We've linked to their Kickstarter in the show notes. There'll be advice from female founders. There'll be loads of business templates. There'll be opportunities for mentorship and lots of step-by-step guides. So yeah, go support that.
Yeah, especially if you're a man.
Yeah, and you want the women in your life to be able to set up good companies.
And you could be a stay-at-home dad.
So you had a massive chat with the journalist Liz Plank a few weeks ago. So she's just put out a book. It's called For the Love of Men, A Vision for Mindful Masculinity. So you guys had a massive chat and we're going to put it out in a few parts.
Yeah, this is part one.
Part one. Well, this was ironically the end of your conversation. But I don't know, I just felt with all the stuff going on in the news, because, you know, she started talking about when she was covering the last U.S. presidential election and talking to women. And
ironically
women
enough, it will be known in history as the last U.S. presidential election.
Well, when she was covering that and she was talking to women who support Trump, and I felt it was a bit topical, but also this is like a big thing that we should go into, the ways in which women uphold patriarchy or the ways in which women... don't call out the men in their lives. I think that is pretty much the thread of the conversation. And you see this in a lot of cultures. And I think that's what's good about our time now, where like women are calling out their brothers, calling out their husbands, calling out their sons. Do you know what I mean? I think that's like a really important thing, because it is a huge problem. Like we often talk about like, oh, all the things men do to, you know, uphold all this stuff. But like, yeah, we kind of need to look at how women need to not let the men in their lives off the hook. So yeah, she had some really interesting analysis of that given her coverage of the campaign.
Yeah, totally. Like, I don't want to spoil anything up top, but she brought up a really, really good point about that. There was one thing that I did want to say about what she said. She made a reference to men committing suicide or having more access to men with more access to guns commit suicide more often with guns. And she said something about food addiction and keeping like chips in your cupboard and how that would be easier to eat chips. And I just want to point out, as somebody with an addiction, it does not have to be in my cupboard for me to find it. In fact, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a, like a false understanding of addiction. And I just wanted to point out that that is not the opinion of the show.
Can I tell you something a little bit unrelated, though, which I once found really funny?
Sure.
You know Dave Navarro, who was the guitarist of Jane's Addiction?
Do I ever? Go on.
So I remember, and he was married to that model Carmen Electra for a while. Mm-hmm. So they were these two, like, ridiculously good-looking Hollywood-y people. With very,
like, ridiculously good-looking, but also, like, weirdly disgusting human beings.
Yeah, well, right, but, like aesthetically, by sort of, like, plasticky Hollywood standards, mm-hmm. Really good-looking people, and this is relevant, with very good figures. This is relevant. I'm not just being objectifying, but I remember there was some interviewer who used to do, like, red carpet interviews and used to ask all these celebs, like, what's in your fridge? And this dude once asked Dave Navarro at some award ceremony, and Dave just turned around and said that me and Carmen don't keep food in the house. We find that way we eat less, which was like a genius, and it always stuck with me because I was just like, you know, when someone says something that's just so genius, you're so unimpressed. I was really impressed by that.
No, I get that.
You get all
I
these people
that,
who
I
like go on
makes
diets and they do all this hard stuff, and he's like, look, we just don't keep food in the house.
Right. I think that makes perfect sense. I was gonna say
people who,
like,
can afford to eat out.
I think that makes perfect sense for people who are, like, trying to diet. Yeah, don't keep chips in the house, because then you won't eat chips and you'll stay to your diet. But if it's an addiction, then
I will
tear through this town to get cocaine.
No, I know.
Do you know
what I
mean?
I wasn't arguing with your addiction analogy. It just reminded me of the simple genius of Dave Navarro's, like, staying in shape strategies.
Yeah, I like it. I keep too much food in the house.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Liz Plank on Women Who Support Trump.
I went to one of Trump's last rallies in Berwyn, Pennsylvania, on the 2016 campaign trail. I was working for Vox, still working for Vox. And I had a show that, you know, where I got to go to a bunch of stuff. And I only talked to female Trump supporters. And back then, there was this data point, 7 out of 10 women have an unfavorable view of Donald Trump. And I had to constantly go on, you know, cable news or whatever and talk about that and be like, women really don't like Trump. Eh? What women could possibly vote for him if so many women don't like him? And so I went to this rally and I only asked women, they're all white, obviously. And they, and then I said, 7 out of 10 women have an unfavorable view of Donald Trump. What would you tell these women to convince them to vote for Donald Trump? And one woman looked at me straight in the eye and she said, I think that 7 out of 10 women have an unfavorable view of a lot of men. And that's when I realized he's going to win. Not because we don't love women and we don't respect women, because we don't respect men. Like, the standard is so low in our society for what it means to be a man, that a man who openly brags about sexual assault, who's, like, cheated on every fucking wife that he's ever had, is accused of, I mean, is, like, laughs at disabled people. Like, all of the lowest common denominator of men's behavior, we find that we're like, cool, you can be the leader of this country. You can have the most important job in the world.
It's like if Biff became president.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm. It's and one thing that came up is, like, why are these women, so many women were like, obviously, and again, white women, it's not, you know, very few women of color were dumb enough I don't want to say white women are dumb. Very few women of color.
Let's be real.
Yes. I mean, very few. Yes. White women are, I just don't want to say that.
No, you can. It's fine.
Well, very few women of color made that decision that night and you know, voted for Roy Moore and all of the other horrible close calls or, you know, literal calls that we've had. And so a lot of white women were defending the president after the tape, because if they condemn the president, they had to acknowledge that they maybe weren't condemning their husbands, or that they had tolerated that from the men in their lives. Mm. They expected men to talk like that about them and their daughters when they left the room. And so suddenly, like, I think it actually created this chasm where if they were to condemn him, then they would have to acknowledge that they haven't been doing that in their own lives with the men in their lives.
That would create like a singularity in their brain.
Like, I don't have to accept this.
Like, wait a minute. If his, yes. And then that means that David, my, and my dad, yeah.
and
they would just explode.
And my son, and right. And so, It really, this isn't just a system, yeah, that men tolerate and men perpetuate. Women will, you know, lead that effort as well. And in an effort, I think, maybe for self-preservation or in an effort to, I mean, maintain white privilege for themselves and their families. But,
well, I mean, second place is better than third. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's 100% that. I mean, I had a conversation with a woman on a plane. I mean, which you should never do. I was writing.
I do it all the time.
I don't know. I don't.
I love strangers.
I guess you're right. I think we're all not talking to each other enough. But I was writing my book, which is what most of my book was written aggressively and with panic on planes. And this woman, I was like, oh, I'm writing a book about, you know, men. And she was like, you know, the white man has really been left behind. And that's when I knew, like, oh, she, yeah, yeah. Look at you. So that's when I was like, oh God, she. And then of course
the white
she voted.
Man has been left behind.
I know.
Okay.
Yes. And she voted for Trump.
In what line were we left behind?
Well, she basically started telling me that her son just graduated. And during his graduation, before his name, it was like, she goes, it was Pavel, you know, what's his name? Like all these like foreign, quote unquote, what she would call foreign names.
Sure.
And she said all these quote unquote minorities are getting free education and he's stuck with debt. Like basically this idea that they, you know, we've been in line and now these people are cutting us in line. And by these people, it's, you know, people of color, immigrants. And so in a way, when I detail this a bit in the book, of that conversation actually helped me understand that from her, I mean, look, she might be just a full-blown racist and be like in the KKK and be like, I want to be a racist and I understand and I think the white race is superior. I also think that she's really concerned about white men because she's married to one, because she has one, right? Like, and if she's being told by the leader of this country that the biggest threat to his well-being is women and people of color taking his jobs. Instead of
I don't know, parents who teach him how to fucking not pity himself.
Exactly. Or like robots. Hello, robots are taking his job.
Thank
you know,
God. Like, but we're going to be robots soon. Yeah. No, I mean, right. And that's the problem, right? It's that individualizing problems, right?
Yeah.
And so it's sort of the opposite of what you were saying, I guess, where you were saying like we make an individual the problem. What I've been talking about a lot is making problems individual to me. Mm. So by saying like my son is white and he has debt, that's the problem. That means that all brown people are fucking over all white people because my son had to pay for school.
Yes.
Hey, lady, you can ditch debt. Fuck debt. Yeah. Money isn't real.
Yeah.
Okay. The economy is going to collapse any fucking day now. And your son's school will have been free too.
Right.
Cool your jets.
And also, do you know who will make it free? Like the Democrats, right? Like,
yeah.
And it's, you know, this is the other part of that, that I wish progressives and feminists talk more about, which is how much our policies benefit men. And that under the Trump administration, the life expectancy of men has gone down. I detail coal miners and their well-being.
Oh, yeah. Clean coal.
I mean, it's, yeah. Black lung is happening to men now in their 20s and 30s. That never happened.
That's vaping. But go on.
White. Oh, my gosh. That's a whole other thing. and so, you know, the well-being of men is not preserved or respected under conservative policies. And actually, yeah. I mean, if you look at just guns, right? Like the availability of a gun in a man's home makes it far more likely that he is going to be successful when he commits suicide, because the suicide by gun death is extremely impulsive. Often it's 90 seconds between the time that he decided that he would do it and that he pulls the trigger, because the gun's right there. If you have to travel, if you have to go and buy the gun, if you, you know, it's, you have to wait 3 days,
California.
Whatever. Well, there you go. if you have to wait, it's like anything, right? It's like, you know, if you're addicted to food and you're dealing with overeating or any kind of eating disorder, and you fill your cabinets with chips, and you're the minute you're going to want that craving and you're going to want to engage in that behavior that you're trying not to, if it's available, you're going to do it. And so with guns, it's really the same thing. And in these rural counties, I mean, I talk about this in the book, like for a lot of men in America, it's easier to find a gun than find a therapist.
Oh, I will say it is very hard to find a good therapist.
Yeah, or a therapist, period. And it's not accessible, right? And these are, you know, mental health and having more access to healthcare and those kinds of services are policies that would be far more advanced in a, you know, under Democrats or that's, you know, for now what Democrats want to do. But we, you know, Democrats can't talk about men. We can't, you know, men have to show up and shut up. No, like we should talk about how these are beneficial for everyone. They're beneficial for women, of course. They're also beneficial for men.
Right.
And everyone else, no matter how you identify.
That's a good song.
Thanks. I wrote it for you.
Cool.
Spent a lot of time on that.
What else is on your mind? Anything?
I'm wondering, what did you learn anything about what it means to be a man through becoming sober? Like, did you learn through the process of, you know, of that healing? Did that like challenge your views or did you realize, wow, I was taught to partake in this behavior when, I don't know, I'm just curious what that journey.
I mean, that's still happening. Yeah. A lot of that has come from doing this show and the show I did before this one, which is how I ended up on this one. That was a show where it was my old roommate and me. We were two guys in LA, two straight, cis, white men in our 30s. And we started doing this show. It's called Fine and Dandy with Dan and Andy. the best name. And originally he had wanted to do like a health and wellness podcast for men. And I was like, that's kind of boring. Why don't we talk about something like important? And so,
cars.
Yeah. And so, the idea for the show became that as two straight cis white men whose parents have money and like, we both grew up in Seattle, like very affluent town. And like, we made it a goal that everybody we had on every week we had a guest and every guest had to be at least not one of the things that we were.
Okay.
So,
I love that.
and then we would just talk to them about their experiences.
Wow, that's
and
cool.
And like try to like gain perspective on things that we've never had to face. Mm. Be it, you know, trans stuff or women's stuff or, you know, people of color or
ableism.
We had a gal in a wheelchair and like, you know, we would just talk to people about like their lives and like, and through that, you know, a lot of hard questions started showing up in my, life about like, why am I doing things this way?
Oh,
and
wow.
Why do I think this way? And then I started doing this show and that's just really continued. So it's not so much about sobriety, but I will say sobriety was the thing that like, gave me the ability to like put down my need to be right about things all the time.
Ooh.
and like listen to other opinions.
Oh, wow.
Without like, cause like so much of our lives is spent trying to be right rather than like actually figuring something out.
Mm.
And when I could put that down,
right,
then everything else just kind of showed up.
Yeah.
And now I'm going through this phase in my life where I'm trying to figure out why I have to be such a man about certain things. It's really annoying to be a man sometimes.
Like what?
Well, like, so like I grew up again, I feel like so much of this stuff comes to my dad, but like my dad was very into like doing like for some reason, men do everything the fucking hard way. Do you know what I mean? Like, like you don't use the fucking moving walkway at the airport. You walk like a man. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's so funny.
Just weird shit like that. Yeah. And like, I catch myself like being like not wanting to take help or like insisting that like we do something the hard way or whatever. And I'm like, where is this coming?
Yeah.
And this, that's all just like what I attribute to being a man in my head. Like, that's
it has
the
to
thing.
Be hard.
It has to be hard or else I'm not a guy.
Mm.
Because anybody could fucking go that way. Mm. But a man, you know what I mean?
Well, because manhood constantly needs to be proven, too. So.
Absolutely. All day, every right. day, to yes. me, to you, to everyone around, yes. anyone listening. Yes. I'm going to live stream my
yes.
manhood.
Yes. Yes. It sounds exhausting.
It's fine. That's the thing. Like, now that I'm in this place, well, first of all, my 20s are a mystery. So I don't know what I was doing there.
Oh my God. That's such a good way to put it.
That's true.
So it's only been a few years that I've really been living with this, and it's been getting better and better as time goes on. And it's really,
well, that's
amazing. It's fine.
Yeah. And I think that that's the best thing that you can do for the women in your life. And this is why, you know, sort of, why I always come back to this with the book, where people are like, well, why we need more attention on men? Why do we need more, you know, women have all these problems and this trauma? And of course we do. Oh my God. Every single woman has been traumatized by a man, at least one.
Every man has been traumatized by a man.
Exactly. That's the point, right?
Allow me to introduce you to my father.
Yes. Yes. And so let's talk about that. And if you can address that, and you address how you've been hurt, then you won't hurt me. And I won't have to say, ouch, 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 ouch. You're going to go internally and self-discover and go on this journey that's not only going to make your life better, it's going to make my life better too. And so what I really want is just, men to take this into their own lives and do their own self-discovering. There's a classic quote in my book from Donald Trump that sort of sums up this whole problem that we have, which is a couple years ago, it wasn't even on, you know, Stern, you know, 20 years ago, this was only a few years ago. He said, I don't like to analyze myself because I might not like what I'll find.
Mm. Yeah. But what's cool is that if you find that and then you talk about it, you can make it different.
Yeah.
Or somebody else will go, oh my God, me too. I thought I was the only one.
Yes.
And then we can slowly break out of this individualist bullshit.
Yes,
and
connect.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe we could just go be socialists. Whatever, that's on,
sure,
that's my...
whatever, that might happen, that might not happen.
Whatever, it'd be cool. Yeah. No big deal. but yeah, I think that's what I was trying to think of earlier when you were talking. It's just this idea that, like, you know, no one wants to be wrong, but we're all gonna be. We all are, but we treat ourselves like we're not allowed.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks that if I'm wrong, then no one will like me ever again, and I'll die alone in a cave.
Mm.
But what's cool is that if you're wrong and you just fucking say it, everybody is so nice.
Yes.
People just want to help you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, you poor little baby bird. Let us find you your nest.
Yeah. And people want, I mean, acknowledging that is super validating to other people too.
Totally.
And
it gives them the courage to do the same thing.
Yes.
And like honestly, there is nothing more important in life than solace and usefulness as a human being, right?
Yeah.
So if you give me solace and the opportunity to be useful, I will have a great day.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Purpose.
Dudes, right?
Am I right?
Don't get me started.
So that was Liz Plank. This is The Gender Not. I am Naz.
I'm Dan. Our co-producers are Jonathan Blackwell and Sam Baker. Please share the show.
Yeah, share
like
it.
Like us, review us, tell your parents, tell your MAGA friends to write us. We'd love to hear their crazy lunatic reasonings.
Hey.
If you know any white women who support Trump, have them send us an email. And we'll talk to you next time.
While LA burns.